Everlast is the young adult ministry of Calvary Worship Center located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Everlast is a place where young adults can come encounter Jesus, grow in Jesus, and make Jesus known.
Well, is the food good?
Yes.
Very good. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that everybody's enjoying. There's plenty of turkey, so make sure everybody eats more. More. I don't care about the other stuff. Just go eat the turkey. There are many turkeys that sacrifice their lives so you could all enjoy. So I'm just saying. All right. Well, while we are doing Friendsgiving, you guys continue to eat. But we didn't want to miss out on the opportunity to still get a message presentation out there and, you know, actually do what our mission statement is, to encounter Jesus. So if you have your Bibles with you, if not, totally understand, it's all good. But if you got your Bibles with you, go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we're going to be starting in verse 1. And we are not going to have the verses on the screens. So this is why you need this kind of stuff. What? John chapter 2. No, John chapter 2. Don't you second John me. John chapter 2. You can confuse people. Verse 1. All right. So read along with me or go on to verse 11. So John chapter 2, starting verse 1, it says, "The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, 'They have no wine.' 'Dear woman, that's not our problem,' Jesus replied. 'My time has not yet come.' But his mother told the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' And standing nearby were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' When the jars had been filled, he said, 'Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies.' So the servant followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though, of course, the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. He says, 'The host always serves the best wine first. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the least expensive wine, but you have kept the best until now.' Verse 11, 'This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.'" This passage has always been one of my more favorite passages in all of the gospel accounts. And let me tell you why. Because what John is giving us insight to right there at the very end, he says, this is the first time that Jesus displayed his glory for all to see. Now, I'm teaching this message and I titled it, "The Best is Yet to Come." And we'll see here in a little bit why I titled the message that way. But right when John opens up this chapter, it says the next day. So in context of what's going on, in John chapter 1, verse 35, we have the first day. In John chapter 1, verse 43, we have the second day. So this is the third day in progression, okay? So on the third day in progression, Jesus and his disciples, these are now his newly chosen disciples. So Jesus has been out and about saying, "Hey, come follow me." You get Peter, James, John, and the rest that are all throwing down their nets and following Jesus. So this is a brand new crowd with this guy. And Jesus goes to this wedding celebration that he's been invited to, and he invites his new friends with him as well. Keep in mind, third day. So Jesus shows up with his disciples, and his mom runs out to him and says, hey, they ran out of wine. Now for us, we're probably sitting there in context of our time going, big deal, they ran out of wine. But in Jesus' time, that is a major, major embarrassment. Huge. Now, what's always been interesting to me about that is Jesus' mother comes up to him and says, "Hey, you got to do something about this." And Jesus says, "It's not my problem." And then, so if you didn't think Jesus has some attitude from time to time, I mean, he's like, "Whatever, mom, not my problem." But But he says, look, this isn't my problem. Then he goes on and he says, my time has not yet come. Jesus hasn't officially started his ministry yet. He just got done choosing his disciples. So we're getting our first introduction. Like, if you're looking at a timeline, how Jesus did his 3 years worth of ministry, we're seeing the very, very beginning of this. And what we're seeing is Jesus' first display is a simple act of turning water into wine. So the celebration wouldn't be an embarrassment, because this is a wedding, right? Now, a lot of you, I'm assuming that you've been dreaming up what your perfect wedding is going to look like, and none of you are planning for embarrassment. I promise you, it's going to happen. There will be some embarrassment from time to time, but you're not planning on it. You're thinking, dude, Disney told me everything I need to know about what my wedding day is going to look like, and I'm going to live happily ever after. One of the reasons why I love this passage the most is because right here, just a simple act of turning water into wine. Hear me out. Jesus didn't have to do it, and nobody would have blinked an eye at it. Right? If Jesus would have never turned the water into wine, Jesus could have continued going off, doing his ministry, doing what it was that he was going to do, make his way to the cross, and nobody would have ever thought, well, Jesus isn't really all that good because he never turned that water into wine. Like, we wouldn't be thinking that. But John's making a point to point out here that Jesus cares about even the small things in our lives. Even something as simple as turning water into wine, so a bride and her groom don't have to be embarrassed at their celebration. Jesus is concerned about the little things in each and every single one of your lives. So these things that you're sitting there going, man, it's really not that significant. I'm not really going to bring this to the Lord. I don't want to place this at his feet because, man, I don't want to inconvenience him. God's sitting there saying, no, bring it to me. Bring your big things, bring your small things. Because even your biggest problems, they're small compared to me. But here's the other reason why I like this passage. You ever watch a movie and, like, you know something really good is about to happen for, like, the main character because they're talking to another character, and then that character gives, like, this wink at them, like, hey, yeah, like the Sandlot, right? Talks, Benny the Jet Rodriguez is talking to Babe Ruth in this weird ghost manner where he pops out of the closet, really weird. But then, like, Babe Ruth gives, like, this wink to him saying, hey, you know, heroes get remembered, but legends never die. There's this wink moment. I truly believe, without a shadow down my mind, but I can't prove it, but I believe this passage right here is John's wink to the readers. John is saying, hey, here's Jesus' first public ministry where he's showing off his glory, but wink, wink, guess what? The best is yet to come. While this is something small and what seems to be insignificant, there's something even better coming. This is John saying, wait till you get to the end of my gospel account. Wait till you see the greatest miracle that Jesus will ever accomplish. Because you see, what we see in this one, on day 3, Jesus does his first miracle. But on day 3, we also know that we get a resurrection, a promise that death and sin has been defeated. You see, on day 3, Jesus arrives to a celebration. But on day 3, we also get to celebrate the fact that we no longer have to fear death. I believe that John is sitting there going, hey, let me tell you the reason why I'm putting this right here smack dab at the front of my gospel account of Jesus. Because wink, wink, the best is still yet to come. And I believe that's true for every single one of us in this room. I believe for you, the best is still yet to come. Despite whatever went on in 2019, despite whatever struggles that you're facing right now, whether they're big or small, I still believe that the best is still yet to come for you. I truly believe that if you have air in your lungs, God's not done with you yet. So we get to live with that kind of encouragement. We get to live with that kind of hope because we have a God who is for us and not against us. We have a God that's on our side. If our God is for us, who can be against us, right? Like, that's a great, great promise that we can hold on to. So we wake up in the morning, we talk about thankfulness during this holiday, and the thankfulness that we truly have is knowing that, dude, I woke up this morning, was able to take a big breath of fresh air, place my feet on the ground. Dude, my God still has a plan for me. I have yet to fulfill the purpose, so let me go live out and try to fulfill that purpose. So the best is still yet to come. Despite the small things, the big things are going on in your life. But what we see with this is, no matter whether 2019 was a big problem to you or a small one, dude, give it to God. 2020 is on its way. you have this opportunity to refocus, reestablish, and start fresh and try to live out that purpose. And you guys have been hearing Tina and I talk about it for the past couple of weeks, that we feel that the best is still yet to come for this ministry. I think that we are merely scratching the surface for what God wants to do with Everlast. Realistically, what I truly believe is that we're just barely scratching the surface with what God wants to do with the young adult community here in Colorado Springs. I really believe that what God has commissioned every single one of us for here in this room, and those who have ever called Everlast their ministry, we are merely preparing. We're getting ready for battle, right? Because we are in a spiritual warfare. We have an enemy that wants your friends, your family members, more than sometimes we even feel like we want them for Jesus. So, man, we have to reshape our minds. We have to understand that, man, we are in a spiritual warfare. We have to understand that we have an enemy that wants our family and friends more than we do at times. So, let's step up. That's simply all we have to do. It's a choice that you have to make. You know, what I love about even the whole gospel account of Jesus is everything that Jesus did was simply a choice. I think that we get this misconception in our mind thinking, well, Jesus had to come do this. Jesus had to come as a baby. Jesus had to do these miracles. Jesus had to take on the cross. Jesus didn't have to do anything. He simply could have left us to our own demise and our own destruction. Even the night, the 3 days leading up, or the holy week, but the night of, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus still had the choice to make. Man, do I sit here? I can run right now. I don't have to put up with this. I'm God. So it's the same choice that every single one of us have to make. Now, what am I going to do with my life? Because if I truly believe that the best is still yet to come, that God still has a better plan and purpose for my life, even better than what I can dream or imagine for myself, then man, what does it look like to start making the choices that move towards that purpose rather than the choices just to stand still? Because make no mistake, Satan doesn't care if you're moving backwards or not, because it's just as dangerous just to be standing still. So this is my encouragement to you guys. Start thinking, what choices do you have to make that next act, that next step in your faith journey? For some of you, I mean, we've got baptisms coming up this week for CWC, and you've never been baptized. Maybe that's the first step. Maybe you know that's the first next step that you need to take, and you've been holding off on doing it because you're embarrassed. You're ashamed. What will people think? What will my friends think? How about this? How about shifting that mindset to thinking, man, what an encouragement I can be to somebody else. My testimony, just the fact that I'm willing to put myself in this vulnerable position, get in a tub, actually take that action step of getting baptized. Somebody else in the audience, your family members, your friends, are going to sit there and see this happen for you. See you take this next step, a call to action that Jesus actually left for all of us. And because of your bold faith, this one simple step of being baptized is going to be the thing that tells your family members or your friends or somebody else in the audience, like, dude, this is real to that person. Yeah, you know what? No more sitting on the fence. I'm getting in the game. You see, our lives aren't our own. Jesus says that our calling is to love God and love others. Our mission statement here at Calvary Worship Center is to know Christ and to make Christ known. So my question for you is, what's your next step? If it's not baptism, maybe it's actually fulfilling the second half of that mission statement, to make Christ known. See, some of us, we sit here completely content with our own salvation and our own spiritual journey, and we're saying to hell to everybody else because we don't care of actually letting anybody else know about Jesus. No, that's not what you were called to do. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit. You didn't receive your salvation. You didn't receive the good news for you to sit there and hold it in your own little box and say, my precious. Not. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to everyone. I've heard people gripe and complain that, man, the church is too big. The music's too loud. Man, it's all about the numbers. You guys maybe have even heard me say this before. Look, it is about the numbers. Hear me out. For anybody to ever come up to you and say, man, the church is too big and it's just about the numbers, man, that's when you're supposed to sit there and go, you're darn tootin', it's all about the numbers. Because last time I checked, my God made heaven big enough for everybody. So I'm going to reach out to everybody. So this is why I believe wholeheartedly with everything that we're moving towards in 2020, with the next step that maybe you have to make, getting plugged into any of our life groups that we have coming up next year. Again, baptism, maybe you need to commit your life to Jesus for the first time. Maybe you've never made that decision. You can make that decision tonight. I would love to have that conversation with you and talk it out, what that even looks like. Man, what does it mean to be a sold out follower of Christ? But whatever that next step is, let me encourage you, make that choice. That simple choice is just the beginning of living out the best is still yet to come for your life. The best that's still yet to come that God has in mind for you. So that's what I'm going to leave you guys with. Believe it or not, this is the last teaching for Everlast for 2019. We have Life Night next week. We've got Worship Night the following week, and then we're doing a Christmas party. So what do you want 2020 to look like? What do you want 2020 to look like for yourself when it comes to your faith journey? And what do you want 2020 to look like for this ministry? Because you're on mission. You've been on mission since you gave your life to Christ. So be on mission. Understand that every person that you lock eyes with and bump elbows with matters to God, so they should matter to you as well. So what's your next step? What choice do you have to make tonight? Let's pray. Father, it has been a good 2019. Despite what hardships we have faced, God, some of us, we have gone through hard breakups. God, some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have been struggling financially. Some of us have lost family members. God, some of us have family members who received bad news the last time they went to the doctor. God, some of us are just struggling through a lot. And so it's hard to stand up here and say, God, it's been a great 2019. But God, the reality is, as a believer in you, as a fully devoted follower, it doesn't matter what hardships life throws my way. It's still good because I have a good Father. So God, I live with this hope, knowing that tomorrow is going to be even better. And God, even if I don't see tomorrow, like if tonight was the last night that I take my final breath on this earth and take my first breath in heaven, God, so be it. That's even greater than the promise that I believe you have for me for tomorrow. And God, the reality is that mindset is so weird to the lost and broken around us. Darkness and heaviness and tragedy abound in this life. So God, I pray that all of us would just be light to this world, the representation that you have called us to be, Christian, a little Christ. So God, it has been a good 2019 because we serve a good God. He's always had our backs. I think Kev even said it last week, you don't just have our backs, but you have our fronts as well, and you got our sides. God, you surround us with your love. That's the reason why we can say it's been a good year, despite of everything. But God, it still holds true that I believe that the best is still yet to come. For myself, for Melissa, for Micah, for Tina, for Kevin. God, for the leaders in this ministry, for our volunteers. God, for every single person in this room. God, even for this ministry as a whole, this young adult ministry. God, I believe that we are merely scratching the surface with what you want to do. So God, my prayer, wear this wristband on my wrist every day. God, I pray that I would live this out. But John 3:30, God, more of you, less of me. Help us get out of the way. God, be the leader of our lives. Let us be so less concerned about what other people think of us. God, let us be so less concerned about what we are afraid people would think about us if we were to live out our lives boldly for you. God, let us be more concerned that we don't live up to your expectations of us. Forget about what expectations we have for ourselves. God, help us focus on the expectations you have for us, because you do have a better plan for us than we have for ourselves. So God, we ask that you would be the author of our lives. 2020, a new start, a fresh start. The old is gone, the new has come. So God, take the pen, write out our story, because you write a better story than we ever could. So God, we love you, and we lift all these things up, believing in faith. faith that we're going to see even greater things. We lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss out on any new content. If you are a young adult in the Colorado Springs area, be sure to check out Everlast on Wednesday nights from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. For more information, please visit our website at cwccs.org. God bless.